We got the wrong theme up there, don't we? Just noticed that. It's going to throw me off now the whole time. Good morning. How are you? Oh, it's been a long journey. It started back the first Sunday in January. We started on this Believe series. And I've got a little bit of mixed emotions. You know, there for a while I was thinking, you know, this has really been a long series. 30 weeks. But then it's almost been like maybe one of those shirts that you've had forever in your closet. You kind of hate to see it go, right? And so it's been fun, and I think it's been good for us. You know, we started off the first of the year. We looked at 10 beliefs, what I would say are core Christian beliefs that are drawn straight from the Bible that we as Christians hold to be true. It's what our faith is established and built on. Then we went to 10 practices. So what now? Now that we have this Christian faith as a part of our lives, what does that look like as we live this out in the world? And now for 9 weeks, and this Sunday being the 10th week, we've turned to some virtues. And these have been really difficult because what we're saying with these is the fact that now that we are a Christian, now that we're trying to put into practice some of these practices to live out our lives, we are, in a sense, becoming more like Christ, although we'll never be perfect at that and never get to that point. But these virtues are supposed to be evident in our lives. Last week we looked at gentleness, and that was extremely hard. It kind of stepped on my toes because the fact is we're not always gentle. With the way we respond, with the words we say, with the actions we do, sometimes we can come off pretty harsh. But yet we're called to be gentle. This morning we're going to messed up because of the gentleness. We're going to look at humility, being humble. And so what does that look like in our lives? Let's pray. Lord, we certainly do thank you for this day. And Lord, for our time here this morning, we ask that you would be with us, that you would open our hearts to receive your word. And Lord, we are so thankful that we are a part of the Christian faith and that we have those beliefs established in us that you have spoken to us and given to us through your word. Lord, we pray that as we live our lives in this world, we can put in place those practices that really give a witness to who you are in our lives. And Lord, as we mature in the faith, we pray that our lives exhibit some of these virtues that we've talked about this morning as we look at humility. We ask that you would help us to have a humble spirit about us as we conduct our lives in this world. We ask that you would block out maybe a few of the distractions that are going on in our minds right now so that we can simply focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I thought about a definition for humility, or anything for that matter, and sometimes it's easier to understand what a word means if you look at its opposite. And so, what would be the opposite of humility? What's the opposite of humility? What was it?
Pride.
Pride, yeah. Being pride, being arrogant. And so if we think of it in terms of that way, sometimes if we see someone who's prideful, someone who's arrogant, we certainly say we don't want to be like them, so we want to be the opposite. We want to be humble. And I think this is really pointed out to us in our Philippians passage today. It's actually in a different part of Philippians. Our Philippians passage for today talks about humility, but Paul in chapter 3 of Philippians, he looks at his former life. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, This is what he says. He says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself, he's talking about himself, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. So Paul, in his former life, was not very humble. In fact, he was pretty arrogant about his way of life. He was proud that he was persecuting Christians. He was proud that he was circumcised. He was proud that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was proud that he kept the law perfectly in his mind. Not a picture of humility. But he had a life-changing experience on the road to Damascus when he had that personal encounter with Jesus Christ himself that completely changed his mind. And then that zeal, that passion for persecuting Christians turned into a passion for reaching people with the gospel of Jesus. And that's what we see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1-4. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affliction and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from revelry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. I think if you wanted a definition of humility, it's right there. In fact, that's the key verse for today, if we can look at that. Why don't you say that with me? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Philippians 2, 3-4. Paul was certainly an example of the opposite of arrogance in his former life before he became a Christian, but then became the perfect example of humility after his conversion, after he met Jesus on that road to Damascus. And I guess for us today, we have to ask ourselves, what does humility look like in our lives? And unfortunately, sometimes we can look at the opposite and know exactly what it's not. And so what I immediately thought of is, how many of you, don't say their name or don't poke them, but how many of you know someone that is right all the time, knows, well, is basically an expert in every subject, everything. If you try to say what you've done or where you've gone, they try to up you one. You're laughing, and you probably have a person in mind. Like I said, don't poke or don't point. But I think that goes to show us, then the opposite is humility. The opposite is lowering yourself below someone else. It's not important that you have to be better, have done more, or know more. You're just humble. You go about your business, you do things, you get things done, and you don't have to worry about upping someone. And that's what humility is, and that's what it looks like in our lives. Unfortunately, it's all around us. It's out in the world. It's in our workplace. It even happens in the church where we want to, well, we talked about it in Bible class. We want to be right. We feel like we're right, and our way needs to be the way or get out of the way, right? And so humility is that part of backing up and saying, you know, I don't have to be first. I don't have to have my way all the time, even though it might be right, right? I don't have to do that. I was thinking about the other day. It was, I think it was after youth, one Wednesday. I went into the Family Life Center, and I don't remember who it was, but they said, oh, by the way, Pastor, we put up all the chairs and the tables. And I thought, yeah, you did. And I kept quiet. I didn't tell them that there were not six blocks between each row, and that the legs were not on the lines, and they weren't straight, and that there were four chairs at this table and three at this one. I kept my mouth shut because I'm learning to understand that it gets done, and I don't have to do it, and it's perfectly okay. You know, the world's not going to come to end if the tables aren't straight and there's not the same amount of space between them. I'm not going to have more salvation than because I do it right than someone else who doesn't. It doesn't matter when it comes down to it. So we have to learn to let go sometimes, right? And just let people do what they're going to do. And guess what? Everything is perfectly okay. But being humble, you know, working with each other, working together for a common good, and especially for the common good of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was talking about last week when we looked at gentleness. We have a common goal in mind, and that is to bring the gospel of Jesus to a dying and hurting world. And a lot of things outside of that don't really matter. But be gentle. Be humble. We have the perfect example of this in Jesus that we see. Not only do we see it in the gospel reading this morning where he washes the disciples' feet, but Paul goes on in chapter 2 of Philippians with verse 5 and following. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." When you really think about what Jesus did, I mean, he left the perfection of heaven, came down and stepped into our cruddy, filthy, grimy world, took on flesh just like we have for us. I don't know about you, but that is a perfect example of humility. Taking on who we are when he was perfect so that we could be made perfect. By going to the cross, by dying on the cross, shedding his blood to bring forgiveness and life to us. And now, we want that to overflow in our lives. That's what this whole series, I believe, has taught us. We want the beliefs that we know to be true from the Bible, we want those to overspill from us in our actions and in these virtues that become a part of who we are for one purpose. Not so that I can look good, not so that I can say, look what I did, but so that others can see Jesus. So that others can come to know who he is. And we pray in some way that our lives exhibit that to others. It has been a long journey with this Believe series. But I pray that our hearts have been equipped to know what we believe, to be able to put into practice what we believe, and to become what we know we should. Let's say our key point together today. I choose to esteem others above myself. Before we speak, before we act, think of others. Think about what our words, what our actions, what kind of impact is that going to have on everyone around me? We might be surprised how that would change a whole lot of things in our life, in our community, in our church, in our families. May we be the people God has called us to be so that people can begin to see who Jesus is through our lives. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.